and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade. I'm with My Umbrella Marketing and I have the privilege tonight to bring you one of many local heroes that we have in our community. And for those of you, I know I do this little intro every single time we come to this show because I just want to set the stage. Heroes of the North State was developed to shine a light on local heroes in our community who rise above, make a difference in the lives of other people simply because it's the right thing to do. They tend to be those unsung heroes, unselfish in nature and just giving people. And tonight's spotlight on our local heroes are going to be ranchers. Our ranchers all across the nation are amazing local heroes, but especially those that, you know, live close to us because they are the ones that put food on our tables and we just can't thank them enough. And some of the reasons why, I believe they're local heroes and you may know, other reasons, love to hear your feedback, is they provide safe and nutritious food for all of our families. They work 365 days a year throughout the weekend, holidays, storms, scorching heat. They care for their livestock and their unwavering dedication to being a rancher or a farmer. And they protect open spaces, wildlife habitats, and land for future generations. Those are just a few, and I'm going to read those as we go on throughout the evening of why I believe, and I believe there many of us agree, that they are truly our local heroes. And tonight we have with us Jennifer V. Hill. She is the co-founder of Ranches with Wolves. Jessica, I'm sorry, I don't know why I said Jennifer. It's Jessica V. Hill, a co-founder of Ranches with Wolves. And she is here with us this evening to shine a light on the cause that is really close and dear to her heart. But I also know that she comes from a ranching and ag background, so we're going to get to know her a little bit. And as we go on to just really understanding what our local ranchers do here in our community. Welcome, Jessica. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
I don't know why I called you Jennifer. I have not done that ever.
It's not the first time.
Well, you know, I want to jump right in and just start learning a little bit about who you are and just if you could tell us a little about yourself and how you're connected to agriculture in the North State.
I grew up on a rural ranch outside of MacArthur, Dixie Valley. It's kind of a unique, really neat place out there. My dad moved there. My mom and dad moved there in the late 80s, and then I was born out there and lived there my whole life. Went to school in Oklahoma, came back, worked out there, and I think it was really nice to see it after being... It was important for me to get out of the state for a little bit and yeah, come back and see how impressive California is. A fresh set of eyes. So my dad has been involved with agriculture his whole life. My mom, she was into education, but she always stressed, you know, FFA, 4-H, those extracurriculars that really made a difference. And all of my siblings, I have three siblings, they all have careers in agriculture. So I think we all kind of, from that raising, went into it. We saw the importance, and we all have different careers, but I think we all know the importance of, you know, where our food comes from, and whether it's marketing or studies. We are all involved in that.
So, when you were growing up, did you have what type of animals were you around?
Cattle. Horses a lot. We did everything horseback, and there are pictures of me 4 and 5, and I would go out with the guys. We had a whole crew of cowboys. I would go out with the guys and work like I was an adult. And we did that. I love horses, so it was kind of, I was always drawn to it anyway. Mm-hmm. So my dad never really had to, force me to help or any of that. I craved it.
Yeah. So your earliest memory, what would you think?
I had this pony named Snowy, and it was a great pony. There are a lot of really bad ponies, and yeah. she was exceptional. And I was riding, and we were, I don't know how many miles from the headquarters, and I was trailing some cows, and I reached down, and I fell off, hit my head on a rock, and I kind of came to, saw my pony was just sitting there waiting for me, and went and got back on, caught up with the crew.
Oh, my goodness.
That's one of my first memories.
Do you, about how old do you think you were?
I was probably 5 or 6.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. So in the family mix, so you said there's 3 of you. Where are you in the mix?
So I'm 2nd. I have an older brother, Alex. He is the director of marketing for the Dairy Council.
Oh, fantastic.
I have a younger sister, Amelia. She lives in Santa Fe, but she's still involved in agriculture. And then my younger brother, Justin, is the ag advisor for Shasta and Trinity County, right here local.
Yeah, we were just talking about that before we came on the show. All of those jobs are very important, very detailed, and you definitely have to have a love for agriculture and ranching. So with that, and with your associations and everyone that you've met growing up and then into your adult life, how many people do you think maybe don't realize how important ranching is in California?
I've seen it a lot lately. I think the disconnection between where your food comes from and, you know, you picking it up at the grocery store is just getting bigger and bigger. And I think that's something that's really important that we need to address as an agriculture sector, is just teaching people. You know, I read something this week, and it was someone misinformed that said, cattle ranching in California is just a hobby. And, you know, it's not, you guys are living in the past, and this is not what California does.
Wow.
And so those things, I like reading that because I want to see the misinformation and I want to battle it. You know, I want to change their minds.
Yeah. Well, the more informed you are, the more, educated conversation you can have.
Absolutely. And if I really welcome people that are open to learning about it. You know, obviously there are people on the far end of the spectrum that have absolutely no interest in learning.
Yeah.
But in the middle is where we have impact.
Yeah. No, true. It takes me back to thinking when I was young, when I was a child, my family was in construction. So everywhere we went was highways and large builds. Like that was basically my existence. And then fast forward into adulthood, and you get off onto the back roads, and you quickly realize there's a whole other life on these side roads that you don't even know are happening every day, all day long. I'm right here in Redding when you think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How many ranches and how many ranching families there are just in a 25-mile radius from us.
Yeah. Multi-generational operations. I work for the Elwoods, and they've been here since the late 1800s, running cattle, and they still do. And they're, you know, dedicated to the best genetics, and they, you know, better their craft as they go. It's really respectful just learning from people like that who have been in it so long.
150-ish years?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
That's a long time.
Multi-generational, because especially with the ranching and everything's just changing, and what young people want to do, and keeping them on the ranch and having it be multi-generational is very impressive.
Yeah. I think that it's really hard right now to keep the next generation involved. They go to college and they get a high paying career and they want to move off the ranch and pursue that, which is admirable as well. But those operations that continue, it's a whole, I mean, I have a huge respect for it.
Yeah. So we are going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, let's flesh that out a little bit, because I just watched something myself on that that I thought was really interesting for the next generation. So we'll take a break. Jessica, thank you. And again, you're listening to Heroes of the North State, and we'll be right back.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Everybody calls us Alliance.
Could someone you know use a little extra comfort right now? Alliance Heating and Air is proud to team up with Lennox to bring Feel the Love to our community, a special program providing free heating and cooling systems to homeowners in need. A simple nomination can make a big difference. Nominate today at homecomfort.org or call 2212-642 Alliance Heating and Air, because everybody calls us. 2212-642.
Shasta County. Tired of filtered news? Welcome to Shasta Unfiltered, your trusted online newspaper for the North State. Straight facts on Reading politics, city council moves, local events, and the national stories that actually hit your wallet, like federal funding changes and job trends right here at home. No agenda, no paid spin disguised as news. Just honest reporting and the stories you need. Visit ShastaUnfiltered.com. Your community reported right.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Well, welcome back to Heroes of the North State. I am here with Jessica V. Hill. She is the co-founder of Ranches with Wolves, along with Kenny Elwood from Elwood Ranch. And just before we went for the break, we were talking about just what it takes to be a rancher and a farmer, and which made us both think about that next generation and how they're coming back to the farm or back to the ranch, and why. And maybe you want to elaborate a little bit on that.
I know that our colleges have really improved their agricultural studies. So like Chico State, for example, Cal Poly has always been good. But there's a lot of options for agriculture degrees that, mm-hmm. you know, you don't go to college and study something completely different and then just to get a degree and then right. come back to the ranch. Like, it's specialized. TCU in Texas has a ranch management school. And so I think it's really neat just how education is changing, and the innovation in agriculture has been huge in the past, you know, 5-10 years. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We were watching a show on YouTube the other day on a ranch where they had, and I'm not going to say it correctly, a weighing machine. I don't know what you would call
yeah.
it. And so the cattle get on it. You will need to see, what their poundage is. And they were transitioning from the old school, like you would put something on a scale and move the needle back and forth to a digital high tech.
Yeah.
technology approach. They were going to keep both operating until they transitioned, because it was the younger rancher farmer coming on and the senior one knowing he needed to evolve and change and grow.
Yeah.
To be relevant.
Yeah.
In today's market.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. They have squeeze chutes. So when you're working your cattle, they have a scale on that is Bluetooth, and it goes directly to your records.
Wow.
It's so impressive.
Yeah.
Just in, you know, 5 to 10 years, how much it's changed.
Yeah, definitely. And so, I mean, in a lot of ways, that's great because it's innovative mm-hmm. and it's more efficient, but it also, that's the generation that is how they learn.
Yeah.
And so to be able to take that back to the ranch and be able to put it in a real everyday practical use, that we are now enjoying on the other side, that farm to table. So when you're
yeah.
eating your hamburger, somebody has been through the entire process.
Definitely. Feeding practices have changed. I know we were talking about some grazing advancements. You know, regenerative agriculture is such a buzz term.
Yeah.
And people have done it for hundreds of years, quite honestly. Like,
yes.
You know, we had that discussion right before we started where it's just a new buzzword.
Yeah.
But I truly believe ranchers do what's best for the ground. Their bottom
yeah.
line depends on it. And so they're going to take care of the landscape because they have to for the next season. You know,
mm-hmm.
they have to invest in, you know, another threat. I think that's, coming on agriculture is just the input costs are so high
yeah.
and fertilizer is crazy. And, ranchers really do want the best for the land and the animals as well.
And, you know, and that takes me to something that I know and I've read. But by taking care of the land, they're also taking care of our community at large, because they're helping reduce wildfire risk just by the grazing aspect of it.
Absolutely. And then they also provide habitat for so many different species.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ranch that I grew up on, there were elk, so it was a 7-mile dirt road, and
yeah.
you would see antelope, elk, and deer every
yeah.
time you drove it. You know, it's just, providing that habitat and having it at the best quality, because
yeah.
grazing helps that. And, you know, mm-hmm. when there's not enough ungulates on the land, then,
yeah.
There's the fire risk, but there's also, you know, matting of grasses, and it's just not as good the next year. And so cattle help that. I know, actually, I read about University of Reno is conducting a study right now to see how cattle can spread seed through their manure.
Yes, so, absolutely.
And it's kind of a rangeland study, so it's looking at native grasses that they're
mm-hmm.
spreading and helping. So it's really interesting. I'm really proud to be involved in something like this where, you know, we work hard. We
mm-hmm.
provide sustenance for people.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many beef byproducts that you use every day without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
I think it's just... the best. I'm so thankful I came from this background.
Yeah, definitely. So then that really helps us kind of transition into why you're so passionate about ranches with wolves, and how did that come about? Tell us about that conception and really what it is, like a brief overview.
Yeah, so my background on that, on the wolf thing, I came back from Oklahoma, and it was right when wolves were starting to repopulate on that ranch that I grew up on. So it was, you could see the change in, you know, a couple years. I saw, you know, at one point they had 100 elk, two adult wolves and one young one had, they had 100 elk balled up. And, I was just thinking, I was like, man, they're really good at what they do.
You know?
And so I had those, that perspective. And, the last couple of years, it's obviously gotten worse. And Kenny was the one, he asked me, he's like, what can we do? How can we help the people who are dealing with us day in, day out? You know, it's not just your bottom line that's affected. It's, you know, it's emotional.
Yeah.
It's, it takes a toll on every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it, you know, Kenny was the one. He asked, how can we help? If you know Kenny, he was one of the most generous and kind-hearted people there is. And, he pushed me to it.
Yeah, he is that true unsung hero. I keep trying to get him to come on the show. I told him that again today. Just a little thing for Kenny. He picks up trash. And so when you have a meeting with Kenny, he just says, come on, let's go walk. And he picked up 4 bags of trash during our meeting and personally picked it all up and throws it away and cleans up our community. And I couldn't believe he found 4 bags of trash down in Turtle Bay when we just walked around for an hour and a half this morning.
Yeah, it's just such a good depiction of him as a person.
Yeah.
He just gives back.
Yeah, I said, you need to come. We need to talk about this. And he's like, oh, no, Michelle, there's other people out there. And I go, but Kenny, you can't stop us now. We got a microphone.
Yeah.
So wonderful. So you came together, and so give us a little bit. So what does Ranches and Wolves do for our ranching community? Because I think that there's a misconception that we are all about just killing wolves. And I mean, to say it bluntly.
Yeah. So it's my belief that ranchers are the original conservationists. You know, they provide all this habitat for all these species. They truly care about animals, and they don't, you know, they've coexisted with predators for hundreds of years, you know, mountain lions, bears. My personal perspective, I think there was only one time that Fish and Game had to come out and do something with a problem mountain lion on that ranch, and I only saw probably two. You know, they're very, they're very secretive, and I would see their tracks all the time.
Yeah.
And bears, we never really had a problem with bears. They were around, but, the wolves are just a different creature. And it's not that we are pro rancher. We just want to help where we can.
Yeah.
And so we see those challenges, and we want to step in and offer financial assistance. There's a lot of management changes that go hand in hand with wolf presence.
Yeah.
So whether you have to ship your cattle prematurely, or you have to buy more feed, you have to fix fence, those are all things that aren't covered by the state, and that's kind of where we want to step in and help.
Perfect. So we're not saying, hey, we're raising this money so that we can do something with the wolves. We're raising the money so that you can help the ranchers that have been affected by, and we know that funding through the state has really dried up.
Yeah.
It was released and gone just in a matter of, I don't even know the length of time, but weeks.
Yeah. Heather Hadwick just had a news conference, and it was about the funding running out, and it's just, it's a problem now, and it's going to be a problem for a long time, especially if Sacramento can't step up and, you know, pass that funding through, but ours is kind of directed at a different spot than where the state funding comes in.
Yeah.
There's a need for mm-hmm. a lot of different avenues to help ranchers with this problem.
So, you know, that's a really good place for us to take a commercial break. When we get back, let's talk a little bit more about that and expand on all the different ways that the rancher is being affected by the wolf presence. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you, like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has stood for more than just a store. It's all about neighbors helping neighbors, families growing together, and communities thriving. And now, that tradition is here in Reading. From feed and garden supplies to tools and pet essentials, Grange Co-op has what you need. With service you can trust. Visit us today at 55 Lake Boulevard. Grange Co-op, trusted by neighbors since 1934.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Myers. I am the president and CEO of Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Thank you to Reading Rancheria for all of their support and partnership over the years.
Hi, I'm Heather Kellenhofer, president of NorCal Breast Cancer Connection, continuing the legacy of NorCal Think Pink. We would like to express our sincere gratitude to Reading Rancheria for all the support over the years.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Well, Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State, and tonight we're shining a light on local ranchers and Ranches with Wolves, which is a newly formed nonprofit that is supporting local ranchers who have been financially affected by the presence of wolves. And before we took a commercial break, I was talking with Jessica, and we were going into how the funding is limited. And how this is just an amazing group of local ranchers. So we have Kenny Elwood from Elwood Ranch, but we also have Jessica Vigil, and she's here, who also has been a local rancher, and then whomever else is involved who decided we need to support our own. And that's what I love about local ranchers. And here's a couple more reasons why I personally think that they are local heroes. They support our rural communities. They are always giving back, either by donations or financial support. They support our local businesses, and they are agricultural economy. I mean, they're definitely a large portion of that. They preserve they do through drought, predators, raising costs, regulations, countless uncertainties, because they believe in what they do. They just persevere, and we can't thank them enough. So with that, Jessica, if you could expand a little bit on the funding and how else that you qualify to take part in the funding.
So I just saw a UC Davis study was peer-reviewed and published this week. The study has been around for years, but it received peer review, and it's about stress on cattle, how it affects them. It doesn't delve into the conception losses, but all of the studies so far have shown 6 to 8%. So that's a huge hit right there to your bottom line, and it's not compensated right now through the state.
So can I break that down just a little more simple terms? So I have a ranch, and I have cattle out on the ranch. If the wolf is just pacing back and forth, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, just basically any kind of wolf presence. So even if they're just going through, your cattle learn pretty quickly that they're a stressor, you know. Mm-hmm. They aren't just going for a walk. They are there for a reason. And so you can see it. You know, I would drive out to the ranch, and I always knew when the wolves were, they would usually leave early morning, and I would either see them out there, or you could just tell by the cattle disposition.
Mm-hmm. They're like a fight or flight kind of.
Yeah, they're kind of all balled up. They just are nervous and restless. So that affects weight as well. You know, cattle, ranchers get paid by the pound, and, it's showing that a 4% weight loss is what the wolf effect has. So 4% right there off of your calf crop. And then the next year's calf crop is 6 to 8%. Less. So those are two really big hits right there.
And so you have that high stress level that also affects the breed back. So you have open cows, so they're not pregnant.
Yeah.
So,
we sent some heifers up, one summer, and we pregged them before they went up. And it was, I think, the summer of 24. And they were all bred, the ones we sent up. And they had a pretty moderate wolf presence, I would say. And there were 10 of those that came back open. So they lost their calf. So they were previously bred. And I thought, you know, in the fall, they were in the corral, and someone asked if we wanted to preg them. And I was like, you know, I actually do. I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see what we have there. So, I mean,
that's a lot. That's a high percentage.
Yeah. Yeah, so then those go out of production. You know, you send your open heifers to the cell, and it's going to affect, you know, the cattle herd right now in the nation is the smallest it's been.
Yeah.
And that build back is not going to happen, you know, in certain areas.
Yeah, it takes time. Because it's not like they have litters.
So,
it takes time. So if I'm a local farmer and I'm a rancher and I'm thinking, How do I qualify? How do they request funding? Like, what does that process look like?
So we are still in the fundraising mode right now. We had our first event, which it was great. We are so happy with how it went. We drew a bunch of outside people. One of our goals is to educate the public. I've found there are so many people that don't know this is happening in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to share that message that this is happening. Also, I think it's really important that rural residents get a voice in it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other people have dismissed them. If you're not a producer, you don't get a say, and that's not exactly how we want to run our operation. This nonprofit, everybody gets a voice. We want to platform them. So once we get enough funds to offer those, offer that relief, we'll have an application process. And it will be on the website, and any and all are welcome to apply. I know Siskiyou County has been hit the hardest recently.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of different communities that are hit hard. So we're not confining it to one area. We are pretty open right now.
Okay. So how new, just to give our listeners an idea, how new is your nonprofit?
I filed everything late winter.
Okay.
And then we just had the first event, which it's one of many. You know, we're just getting started.
Yeah. So if you'll take, it doesn't have to just be fundraising by events. People can donate to the cause?
Yeah, so you can go on the website, rancheswithwolves.com, and there's a button there where you can donate. We also, we had a concert the first time, which was great. We drew a lot of people in. It's not going to be a concert every time. We're going to do different events and change it up and have, I think it's so important just to share that message with people.
Well, and if we think about it, so that takes us back to like some of the numbers we were talking about before the show. Let me find that California has lost roughly 25,000 farms and ranches since 97.
Yeah, that's a scary number.
That is a scary number. I mean, if you think about that, the size of California, and it's crazy to me for people to say that California wasn't that involved or isn't that involved in agriculture.
I know beef production is our fourth largest commodity in California. I think it generates almost $5 billion. That is a huge number. You know, in that same vein, I'm an optimist, and we are getting more efficient with our production. So while the cattle herd is smaller, we are still producing a lot of beef. Our genetics are getting better. Our inputs are getting better. Our grazing practices. It's an ever-evolving sector. You know, you can't stay stagnant and think that you're going to continue operations.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot that you can look forward to, I think, with the agriculture sector. But those numbers are a little scary.
Yeah. I mean, so not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to anyways. So what do you think is behind the trend? Like, do you have like your own personal opinion or?
So fact? I know that it's an aging industry. The average rancher is 58 years old. But I think 40% are over 65. So it's an aging industry. Input costs are super high, so it's hard for beginning farmers and ranchers to get involved, which,
mm-hmm.
I think the USDA is trying to improve some funding for, ranchers that are just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something to look forward to. I know people are taking advantage of that. But it's hard to overcome, an average age of 58.
Well, and it's the cost of the land itself. I mean, it's...
Especially in California.
Yeah, exactly. Why do you think that people should be concerned about that loss?
In my opinion, I want to eat beef that is from the U.S. There's nothing better than, eating something that's local. You know that it was raised humanely. Mm-hmm. Everything goes into that animal.
Yeah.
And I think food security should be our number one concern. And so I don't think there's any replacement for beef and beef byproducts.
Yeah.
Meat in labs is not something that I think will sustain a society.
Yeah, agreed. You know, we were watching, again, something on YouTube because we love all these shows that are uploaded. And another rancher was talking about how the next generation, how we need to let them know it's not as scary as it was back when. It's not, yes, you're there 24 hours a day, and yes, it's 365 days a year, but now the new technology allows you to have more work-balanced life so that you can be with your family. And to be able to have that younger generation come in and take it to the next level.
Yeah, we were just talking about, satellite GPS collars on cows that you can change their pasture, you know, through an app on your phone. Also, I know that there are cameras that monitor your water tanks. And so, you know, in areas where you have to run water to cattle, you can check that on your phone. There are a lot of innovations mm-hmm. right now. And it, like I said, it's just an exciting time to be in agriculture. And I think the more, you know, I know there's AI lasers that are killing weeds mm-hmm. on, you know, huge farmlands. So it's just really interesting to see it come to fruition under our eyes.
Yeah, definitely. Gosh, we're going to have to take another commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Heroes of the North State, and I'm with Jessica V. Hill from Ranches with Wolves.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, everybody. McGraw Millhaven here, host of America at Night. Tune in each and every weeknight for a late-night conversation. We'll have interesting guests, informative conversations from people who have been there and have done that. Plus, we always have time for you, the listener, because we love late-night conversations. Be sure to tune in every weeknight from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the next America at Night with me, McGraw-Millhaven, right here on KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, your talk radio station.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Let's see. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade, and I'm here with Jessica Vigil, and we are talking about ranchers and how they are definitely our local heroes here, just in the world. Let's be honest. It's a hard job. It's a thankful job from us and for them. At the end of the day, every rancher I've ever spoken to has said they wouldn't do anything else. They just absolutely love it, which makes me think, Jessica, we were talking about how we have technology now that tells us how much water's in the tank for the cattle and helps us with the grass and you name it. I mean, they're coming out with something. And I'm grateful because I can't tell you how many times we've had to run out and check something.
Yeah.
Or you're finally in your pretty gown and you're going to dinner and a cow gets out. And you have to run out and make sure they get off the road. Well, when we put those monitors around their neck, that's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, that helps.
It does help. So I'm thinking about that. Ranchers have always dealt with challenges. I mean, day-to-day challenges that we, as the normal, everyday working person, maybe don't even recognize as a challenge.
So I remember I think I was still in preschool, and it was springtime out there in Dixie, and there was some snow. There was a snowstorm that came through, and then it started raining, and mm-hmm. it was raining hard. And we had about halfway to the front gate, there's a bridge, and it washed out.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So I remember one of my memories is we had to take a boat across to make it to preschool.
Oh.
And and my dad at that time, he got it was the county or the state to helicopter feed to some cattle because there was no other way they would, you know,
yeah.
survive. There's so many challenges. Ranchers are resilient. They love what they do, and that's why they do it. But, you know, there are challenges all the time working with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you respect, the ins and outs of it, but, it's not an easy path.
So I've told this story a few times, but not on air. When I was a young girl, like 10, 11 years old, I had a cousin that lived out here in Redding on the bottom at Churn Creek Bottom, and where you do your irrigation out there, it's the ACI, you mm-hmm. know, ditch, I believe. I wasn't familiar with any of that, and so it was hot in Redding, so I used to go and put the boards in and change the water flow so that it would fill up and I could make a little swimming pool. I had no idea what I was doing. That water wasn't making it down the road. And I, of course, didn't pull the boards out.
Yeah.
So I just went home.
Someone went back and was like, what happened here?
Every summer for about 3-4 summers, I did that.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So those are those unexpected challenges, trying to figure it out. So, oh, goodness. So then we think about, okay, us, the consumer on the end, we're sitting at home and we're having this amazing meal. And we really should be thinking a rancher and a farmer for that.
And right now, you know, there are so many ranchers that are going straight to the consumer with their product, you know.
Okay.
I think it's important as a consumer to reach out to those ranchers. There's a lot of websites, you know, you can buy direct from the ranch. That's an important way that you can, you know, spend your money where you want to.
Yeah.
Keep it local.
Yeah.
You know, ranchers are vital to rural communities. Without them and logging, you know, there wouldn't be much industry at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not going to be communities without jobs.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, reach out to a local rancher, buy your beef direct from them.
Yeah. So, you know, and it goes back to education also, understanding where your food comes from. I heard a true story, and I'll tell you the short version. There was a woman who was baking with her friend in the kitchen, and she needed lemons, and she had a lemon tree in her backyard. And the long and short of it was, your friend's like, you don't need to go to the store. You have a lemon tree in your backyard. She goes, no, I can't eat those lemons. They haven't been processed. She firmly believed that. She was in her 30s. And then she posted it on YouTube and asked people if she was the only one that didn't know that. And I'm...
Yeah. We are full circle here. We were talking about the, you know, just people not knowing where their food comes from. You know, everybody used to have little gardens and they would, share with their neighbors. And we're so far removed from that.
Very much.
It's interesting to see.
Yeah. I can remember growing up and picking radishes from the yard, rinsing it off with the water hose and eating them. And I'll tell you, they were so tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
My dad, so he has a green thumb, and he always likes to garden and stuff. And I asked him last year, I said, "Dad, are you going to, plant a garden?" He goes, "No, it's cheaper to go get it from the grocery store."
Get it from the store, get
like,
it from your farmer.
Better.
Yeah, from the farmer
is,
down the road.
Which is funny, because he's a lifelong rancher.
Yeah, that is funny. That is funny.
So it goes both ways, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, hey, so I don't want to make sure we don't run out of time. Let's talk again about how can people get a hold of Ranches with Wolves and how they can support.
Okay, so we have a website. RanchesWithWolves.com. Okay. We have an email, so send us over an email and we'll get back to you. Whether you're, a rural community member who wants to present at our next event, or a rancher that wants to share their story, we want to involve the urban community in this. So no matter where you're at, we want you to be involved. So reach out to us there. Our email is rancheswithwolves@gmail.com.
Okay.
So any of those avenues is great. We look forward to our next event as well. We're still trying to decide what that will be.
Well, and that's actually, so you've got your Facebook page as well. I'd like to encourage people to please go and follow and like all the things that you do on social media so that you can be informed and know when these next fundraisers are coming up, because these aren't like boring fundraisers. Yes, this cause is a serious cause, but these events are just really fun. It's good people getting together and celebrating and appreciating each other for what they do for the community.
It's important, I think, to have some different avenue. So I like to think outside of the box when it comes to, marketing and about our Facebook page. Everything that's posted there is sourced. It's fact. We don't post speculation. So there are news articles to back up everything that's posted. We try to be as accurate as possible. We want to share the news and be neutral. We are pro-rancher, but we want to share the correct information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, well, and again, knowledge is power, so we do need to be informed whether we like what we're reading or not. We do need to know what we're dealing with as a community. And wouldn't it just be wonderful if everyone who's listening now, if you just go on and make some type of small donation, and you're going to know that you're going to be supporting a local rancher, a local farmer that is giving back into the community and back into the food chain, so that we're all just supporting each other. I would just really love that. Something to remember, ranchers are more than producers. Now, we only got about a minute and a half. Tell our listeners, what does producer mean when you say that?
I think it takes away it's not a bad word, I would say,
no,
but it takes away the humanity of who is making the food.
Okay.
Who is putting the seed in, and when it comes to fruition, who is harvesting it, who is harvesting the beef from, conception to when it's on the plate. I think the word producer kind of takes away from that. And, there are people that work hard to do what they do, and we need to appreciate them.
Absolutely. Well, Jessica, thank you. I appreciate you and everything that you and Kenny Elwood are doing for this cause, and everything else that you do that is not associated to this cause, and I know is just giving back to the community, making a difference in the lives of those around us, my life, everyone's life here in our North State. So thank you.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
Absolutely.
It's been fun.
And I'd like to leave everyone with this thought. Ranchers are more than producers. They're caretakers of the land, protectors of their livestock, providers for our communities, the guardians of a way of life. While many heroes wear uniforms, ranchers wear boots, gloves, and hats. So thank a rancher. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.